This is the IC Pixels podcast with David and Anthony Cavins. We're going to talk about design in everyday situations. Welcome back to the IC Pixels podcast. This is David.
This is Anthony.
And this is our second episode in the month of February. So in this episode, we wanted to talk about graphic design and social justice. The idea for this came to me. Well, I guess we talked about me and Anthony, my co-host, who happens to be here. We talked about this a while back. Just in passing, but I don't know, for whatever reason I decided we'd talk about it again for this episode, because I guess we've noticed more about it and we have more to say, because when we originally thought about talking about it, it was like, well, we don't really have anything to say about that, but after
basically we needed to do some research.
Yeah, no one has time for that. So
traditionally we don't do research, but we're like, okay, we need to do research before we can actually talk about that. So
yeah. So we did some research and now we have something to talk about.
Yeah.
So I guess we can start by talking about some of the history behind like the whole social justice thing and how graphic design has been involved in it. When I started Googling and doing some research on the topic, you can find like lots of propaganda posters and things like that from like, the older stuff I found is obviously, you know, like anti-slavery posters and stuff like that. I'm sure there's stuff like from England, or Europe and all that type of stuff that's even older. I didn't see much of that, but you could see a lot of posters, you know, where people were fighting for, you know, ending slavery, fighting to maintain slavery, promoting Nazis, the whole Nazi thing, or going against the Nazi thing, and all those types of things. And then, of course, as you get to more current times, you also see things like posters promoting the first Million Man March back in, like, 95 or 96, I think, when that was. And, like, posters for, you know, Save the Planet and all that type of stuff. So obviously, posters have been used a lot to promote different types of things and like kind of change people's opinions on various topics.
Yeah. I mean, I look at it just like kind of the same way I would look at, like I see it sometimes in science fiction shows, or I mean, just any kind of, or books, or not just science fiction, but other things, but sometimes a work of fiction that they try to frame an issue that's going on in the moment in a different light, so that you look at it and then you learn something from it. And I think the most effective posters, they find a way to really connect to the viewer.
Yeah.
They find a way to, I don't know, humanize the people, or there's a lot of things it does. It just depends on which emotion they're kind of trying to go for.
Yeah, I was going to say, like sometimes they're trying to dehumanize as well.
They're trying to dehumanize another side. Yeah, I guess in the humanized sense, I guess, like one of the most popular posters is that Rosie the Riveter one, where it's just trying to show, you know, it's like a strong woman. And, I mean, that was during like the war. I forget which war that was during, but, okay, we didn't do that much research. But, but that was like one of the most popular ones. I mean, and then there's the Uncle Sam wants you to join, you know, whatever. I actually used that for a design recently, because that and like, you know, the Rosie the Riveter one, and there's other ones that have been remixed over the years for a variety of what's that? Stay Calm and
Carry On.
Yeah, Stay Calm. I've seen that. You know, I've seen that used to death with varying results.
I just ignore it now because it's, I've become blind to it because it's like, oh, someone else is using that same format.
Yeah, in some kind of way that doesn't have the same effect. It's like, use it in the original work. I mean, well, I wouldn't say that, but so many people have tried to turn that towards their own goals that it just doesn't work anymore. It's just not effective. I mean, it's a good design, but it's just like too many people have ruined it. So I mean, I don't know.
Well, like I just looked, Rosie the Riveter was during World War II, but I think posters like Rosie the Riveter, for instance, try and put a positive face to something. Like, I know in previous episodes we've talked about people kind of, maybe we haven't, but we've mentioned it in passing. Like, people want to be able to see themselves doing something before they're more comfortable doing it. Like, so if I see Michael Jordan playing basketball, I'm probably going to be more comfortable. Or someone I feel is, like, kind of in my same social group or whatever group, I can kind of feel more comfortable pursuing it because I'm like, well, he did it, I can do it. And I think the Rosie the Riveter is a strong example of that, where they obviously wanted women to help with the war effort, so they did a poster of a woman. There's another one. It's not called Rosie the Riveter. I think it's called, like, We Can Do It or something like that. But it's the woman kind of flexing, making a muscle.
That is Rosie the Riveter.
Nah, Rosie the Riveter is the one by Norman Rockwell.
What?
It's called We Can Do It or something like that.
Oh, and
she's got a red bandana. People mix them up.
Wow. Yeah, because I thought that one was called Rosie. Huh. Interesting.
But yeah, it's that same powerful woman image.
Okay, yeah, I see. that's completely different.
Yep.
Huh. I've never seen that one before. I think everybody thinks the other one. Wow, that's interesting. Yeah. Huh.
But I think that's one strong example of a way, like a poster, because basically when someone wants you to support a cause, you want to be able to feel comfortable supporting that cause. Like, yeah, there's other people like me supporting this cause or whatever, or to join a movement, whatever it may be. So these are, I guess, strong examples of like showing the person, like, here's what you'll look like when you do this or whatever. Because I've seen similar posters trying to encourage people to join the army or the navy or whatever. These were, during World War I or World War II, where they had like the guy that signed up to join the military, and then he's got all the ladies around him, all swooning, like, "Oh, we're so happy for you, Johnny," or whatever they said in those times. But it's the same type of imagery, and I've seen when I was looking, I looked up posters for the Million Man March, the 95 one, and you saw some of that same stuff. They even made a movie that was kind of like that Get on the Bus movie. It was kind of I never watched it, but from looking at the poster, it was kind of the same thing, where they want to help you feel comfortable going to the march. So they're going to kind of show you, like, this is what it'll be like if you go, this is how it will help you or whatever, but you got to condense it down into something small that can fit on a poster, so you show that powerful figure of whoever doing whatever, and you're like, yeah, I can be me.
Yeah, you can relate right directly to it. I was just thinking about one I saw where it was like, I guess it was from England or something like that, but it was, like a dad sitting there with his kids, and his kids asking him, like, what did you do in the Great War? It's like the guilt trip, and it was like, but it will basically depend on which side of the war you were on, that was a good or a bad thing. But it was like they said, it's like one of the most effective, and it like actually came from the person that created it. That actually happened to him. Like, that was a thought he had. It's like, if I don't do something, then what is my son gonna say when he asks me what I did or whatever?
I designed a poster to make people go fight and kill each other.
Yeah, that's what we do. So. So, I mean, those are all, like, related to, like, going to war and stuff like that. I mean, that's probably one of the most, like, well, maybe, I don't know if more posters have been made for that, more effective posters have been made for war than other things, but that's, like, one of the main reasons why. I mean, because, a government wants somebody they want their people to support them, so they're going to do whatever they can, right, as much as they can to get them, to sway people to whatever, whatever cause. I mean, sometimes it may be a good cause, who knows? I mean, on that level, it's, even if it's a good cause on some level, somebody's going to get screwed at some point for it. So, I mean, it's, I don't know. It's interesting. But then there were many that were used for social justice. Like one I was thinking about is, I mean, it was just people wearing a sign that just said, "I am a man." Mm-hmm. I think that was when they were.
That was during the civil rights movement. I saw those too. I thought those were pretty powerful. I mean, from a design perspective, they were very, very simple. And I think that's not a detraction from it, but most of the ones during the civil rights movement I saw were, I actually posted one on Instagram. It's a sign that they used to hang outside the NAACP office in New York that said a man was lynched today. And it wasn't like some amazing feat of graphic design, but most of the time it's just the words, like on a plain, simple background, were enough to draw a lot of attention to what was going on. Yeah, because oftentimes the design is not across. Doesn't have to be that strong, because a lot of times it's, at least for in recent years or more recent times, when during protests and things like that, like the Black Lives Matter and other, like all the protests against police killings and stuff like that, most of these posters don't get printed out and hung up anywhere. Yeah. Or like they're not like hanging up in the post office or nothing like that, because, you know, some All Lives Matter people will come tear it down, but they're used in protest, so they're not professional quality, but they still have to condense the message into like a small consumable bite that you can see and get really quick.
Well, I mean, and we're in the hashtag era, so some of those things they have to
gotta be less than 140 characters. Forms.
Yeah. Yeah. And while there are, you know, I'm sure there's more complicated posters put up or whatever, a lot of people, they consume things quickly on Twitter or something like that. But then that's when you get into memes.
Yeah.
Which is the new propaganda poster.
Yeah.
Just with varying degrees of pixelation.
Yeah. But you always got to use impact. I think that, yeah, it's impact that is the font that everyone uses, with a black outline. White text, black outline. Yeah.
Or they just do like the white, like just writing right above the photo or whatever.
It's usually like century gothic or something.
It depends on what you're going for. Is it conversation or are you trying to say something like meaningful?
Yeah.
But. See, it's you got to know when to use which meme profile.
Yeah. So. Well, I think on the topic of memes, that brings me to like another way that people use, like another, I guess, method that those posters have used over the years is like using stereotypes to either encourage or discourage something. So a few of the posters I looked at were from probably World War I or World War II. I don't know.
Oh, those ones about Japan? Or
yeah, a lot of them were about Japan or like other places.
Yeah, those were mad racist.
And very racist. Like very, like extremely like squinty, what you would call like Asian looking eyes, and all kinds of other like real extreme stereotypical things about Asian people. I'm sure there's things like that that have been done about black people as well. I didn't find that many. But that's another thing where it's...
Oh, about black people? Well, no, I mean, yeah, they're a lot.
Well, I think the ones... I'm sure the ones about black people are probably a little more subtle. But that's a different topic for another time.
In their racism?
Yeah, I think so.
No.
Well, some of them, but I'm saying like... In current,
we were like mad racist just on food products to black
people. Well, yeah, you're right, but I'm talking about like in current times. I think there's still some of this going on.
Oh.
At some level, it's not always like blatantly like don't trust the Japanese, but stuff like that does happen still. But it's more by just using stereotypical people in posters and less by saying don't trust black people or whatever.
Oh, yeah, it's a little more like, I guess, I can't think of the word for it, but they try to be subtle about it.
But I saw a lot of posters like that where it's just straight up, let's play on the stereotype that you can't trust these people. And
yeah,
I think, again, you're kind of making a common enemy, like where the Rosie the River was making a common like goal for people to seek towards. These anti-Japanese, anti-black people, anti-whoever posters were making a common enemy. Like, look, all those people like that, let's hate them. Because there are also ones like that against, like, the Nazis and stuff like that. And then the interesting thing, because I'd never seen these, was I saw one, I guess it's from China, from the 50s, where they showed like a stereotypical American killing them, and I thought that was interesting to see that it happens on both sides.
Yeah, it's interesting how that goes. I remember looking at a bunch of Cuban like propaganda stuff. I mean, it wasn't necessarily all anti-American or whatever, but I mean, some of it may have been. But side note, they had like really good design. But that's the problem. Some of these, as a designer, sometimes you'll see a design and you're like, wow, that's really good, and then it clicks. Like, oh wait, that's for the Nazis.
But it's so good.
Yeah, it's like, that was good. I need to just back away.
Like, I really like this logo they have. Like, the you start using it on something.
Well, I mean, that's a case of branding being effective. I mean, even now in movies or Star Wars or anything like that, where they want to depict an evil empire, it's that same kind of branding, like, playbook that, you know, that branding palette that like, from the Nazis. Which, I mean, it's effective, and, you know, it gives you a certain feel. So, I mean, no, I'm not, I mean, yeah, that's all I'm going to say about that. But, yeah, it's interesting how that plays a part, like, just in people's perception of whatever issue is going on at the moment. And, because what is interesting now is some of those posters, I wonder if some of those things like that, especially ones that are like mad racist, if that would be effective now, in the age of, you know, information, age of information and disinformation, aka fake news.
I think some of them can still be effective. Because if you think about it, there's a lot of people that seriously believe that, like, Trayvon Martin or whatever was a gangster thug or whatever. Like, all these people that got killed should have died because, whatever, they were criminals or whatever. So, not necessarily that this was done by posters or whatever or through graphic design, but, you know, there are people who can be swayed.
Willfully ignorant. Yeah. Well, yeah, those will always exist. But, I mean, like, at that time, like, with those posters and everything, you know, you didn't know these people. You weren't going to run into these people. So you had no way of being like, oh, let me go find out about Japanese real quick.
Yeah,
you know?
Let me ask this Japanese guy that I work with, like, is he trying to spy on us for the Nazis or whatever?
Yeah, it's like it was way too easy to, you know. I mean, that's the same reason why, you know, this rampant racism now, and why a Cheeto is president and all that kind of stuff, because there are people that can dissociate themselves from other people because they're not around them. So it's easy for them to just like, I don't know those people anyway. I just believe whatever they're saying about it or whatever, and that's what I'm going to go with.
Yep.
But and I think that's why, I mean, if you think about the poster I was talking about before, that I am a man thing, that's exactly what that was trying to, like, trigger in people. It's like, no, you need to see me as a person. Like, you can't just, you know, brush me across or whatever.
I was kind of changing the topic a little bit. Some of the other posters I came about were for, like, the Black Panther Party. That was obviously after slavery, but from what I was reading, the guy that made a lot of them, his name was Emory Douglas. He made a lot of them had very few words on them, or like it was mostly like an image of something. And it might say Black Panther on it somewhere, but it was because a lot of their people just didn't know how to read. And so they had to get their message out about Black Panthers or whatever. But they couldn't put like a bunch of words and stuff on there, so they just did designs to get people's attention so they would know what was going on, or would, you know, carry the message to the people without, you know, while considering their limitations, you know, literacy wise.
That's interesting. I mean, because that speaks to like good design, like, if, you know, can it work, can your poster work without words? Or, I mean, yeah, can it work without words? People get it, and those are, I think, the most effective ones. And then, you don't need to sell it. And it makes it, you know, not just for people that can't read, but for people that may not, I mean, just the casual viewer. That's, if they see it and they get it, then it's like, oh.
Yeah, that's, you know, the other thing is, like, I should, for a lot of these at least, I'm sure, like, they were probably hung somewhere where people are passing by frequently, and not everyone's going to have time to stop and look. So, like, another strong design is, like, the Che Guevara, or however you say his name. That one, there's no words on it, but it's just the guy looking all, like, hopeful or whatever. And it's enough to get your attention. Like, it's an image that people can be drawn to. And I think that's, that, like I, like you said, that those are the most powerful posters, because the person doesn't have to stop and figure it out. I looked at...
They can see themselves in it.
Yeah, I looked at one... Because another one is, like, there's this poster of Huey Newton, which, again, Black Panthers. He's just sitting there in a chair with a gun and a spear. And it just communicates power. But one poster I saw is, it's called Liberators. We'll link to it in our show notes or something like that. But it's by a Nazi group, I guess, in the 50s or 40s or something. But it's basically depicting America as, you know, what America is, money-grabbing, racist, over-sexualized, and all-empowering. And, but it's like a big monster of America, and it's got on a Ku Klux Klan hood. It's got a money bag in one hand. It's got a bunch of black people in jail. It's got a bomb on one foot. Like, a lot of it is kind of accurate, and it's got a lynching rope on one of its hands too. So, it's one of those posters where, like, just looking at it, it's not one of those ones I would just look at and get the message immediately. Well, I might, but it's one of those where you would want to stop and look and, like, oh, okay, I see what they're trying to say here. So I thought it was pretty interesting.
It's just crazy because that came from Nazi.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good because, like, it's not inaccurate. Especially at the time when it was made, it's very not inaccurate. So...
Yeah, that's really interesting.
I'm not going to say that I like it.
But it's just it's sad but true, interesting to me, like, that coming from a Nazi group, and I mean, you know, considering what they did, and then what, you know, I mean, of course, they were trying to paint themselves in a certain light. It's like they were hiding that, but
yeah,
I see what you did there.
Neither y'all were wrong. Neither was completely wrong about, like, you know, the other.
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, see, they have this. Yeah, I don't know. Because then they have, like, the Star of David. Like, I don't know. It's interesting. I'll just say that. It's interesting. And, I know we're talking about, like, recent, like, you know, social justice posters. Right now, actually today, I didn't realize it, but today I'm wearing one of those "I Stand with Standing Rock" shirts. Which part of the reason I got it? I mean, because I like what they stand for and everything, and I wanted to help out in some kind of way. And then I saw the shirt and was like, "Oh, that's a nice shirt." I like the design of it. So, I mean, which is interesting to me, like, how that plays a role in you. In, I wonder if sometimes that comes first. Somebody likes something and that gets them in the door, and they're like, well, I like this, so maybe I'll get on board with whatever else is going on.
Well, I'll say, like, so years ago, I don't know, it's probably like 8 years ago, probably more, I saw somebody and they had a shirt that said "Save Darfur," and I thought it looked cool. It was just a really simple shirt. The font looks kind of cool, so I was like, oh, I like that shirt. So I went and Googled. I found out about all the genocide or whatever that was happening over there. I actually bought a shirt, but the design is what pulled me into it more than anything else. And I think that's what kind of matters today as well. I saw this other shirt. It wasn't really for a social issue, but it was a you know those nutrition facts labels? It was one of those, but it was like black nutrition facts. So it said, like, you know.
Oh, yeah, I've seen
that. I thought it was pretty cool. I didn't buy it because I just kept forgetting and I'm broke. But, again, I think the design is probably going to do, like, has to do, like, 90% of the work.
Yeah. And, I mean, part of me, I think I'm okay with that. I know there's people that would be like, oh, you're just now jumping on to this bandwagon or whatever. But if somebody's on the bandwagon, I mean, if somebody, even if they just now are finding out, that's good, though. That's the goal, right? You want them to be on board. So, I mean, even if they're new to it and the thing that pulled them in was the design, that's fine. I mean, it's like all the people buying Bob Marley shirts first time they smoke weed or something like that. It's like suddenly, oh, wow, suddenly you're a Bob Marley fan. All right. But I mean, it's, I don't know. It's interesting how that works and if people should be offended by it or what. I mean, like, as long as you make sure the thing is going, like for this shirt, I mean, I did my research and was trying to make sure, okay, I don't want to just buy this from some random person that just put it up on Zazzle or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, that's not actually for a cause. Because, I mean, I know I've designed shirts. We have a couple in our shop, alienmuffin.threadless.com, that I designed it. Some of them have, you know, thing like one of them is like says like I matter or something like that. But I come up with the design because it's something on my mind and something I was thinking about at the time and I wanted to design something around it. Just it looked cool, so I would want to wear and everything, and you know, just go from there. And I've had ideas since then about certain things that go around in the world, and it's like, oh, that would look like a cool thing, or I can design this. But the thing I try to avoid is I don't want to make something that is going to, I guess I don't want to make money off of somebody's I don't know, it's like me making like a Trayvon shirt and then like selling it and pocketing it all the money.
Yeah.
Like, that's messed up. That's not, yeah. I wouldn't do that. You know, I mean, if you're going to do something, you like have it go to the right channels and all that kind of stuff or whatever. But I kind of just like avoid doing that anyway because I know somebody's already probably on that. That's closer to the thing and I don't want to.
Well, sometimes I feel bad because they'll make like a design that's kind of lame. Like I remember, I think they had like some hands up, don't shoot shirts that like basketball players were wearing, and they were whack. And I'm like,
Oh, those ones in like comics.
Yeah. It was like,
that's not an article about that.
Come on, y'all could have done something better. I mean, it's fine. I'm glad that the message is out there, but I wish it was designed better because it might have gone farther.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I have. Well, I'll tell you about that later. But I have an idea for a shirt that we can make pretty easily. That's simple, but make it clean. But anyway. I'll tell you about that later. But I don't know. I mean, but yeah, that's what makes it. That's what helps a design stand or a message stand if it's done well. I mean, you got the message out there, but did they wear that shirt again?
Probably not.
No. I mean, if it's a cool shirt, you'll keep on wearing it. I mean, just like, you know, people wear a shirt for Star Wars or anything else they like, they'll keep wearing it if it looks cool.
Yeah.
Not just because it has some words on it or whatever. I mean, I know I painted a picture called I Can't Breathe, but it wasn't like a direct, you know. It was inspired by that, but I didn't have my own. You can check that on anthonyarts.com.
This guy. Yeah. All you do is plug.
Hey.
Well, I think, again, we've kind of said it several times, so the design matters. The design is probably the most important. One of the most important things when you're doing these types of things, trying to, you know, promote a message or whatever. And I think also, like we talked about, the use of stereotypes matters, but the use of sort of like icons, because I saw a poster for the whole Occupy Wall Street movement, and it used kind of an image of, I'm trying to remember the name of that movie. But it was a movie where this guy, he's wearing a mask and he runs around and just starts all kind of anarchy all over the place. He's like overthrowing the government.
Oh, V for Vendetta.
It's that guy. And like, you don't have to say much more because the poster, all it says is Occupy and it's got like that guy's face kind of thing on there.
Yeah.
And it's enough. Like, that's easy to communicate. Like, so that's what I would say is probably the most important, is make sure your message is something succinct.
Yeah, because I mean, I've seen like, I mean, like, I was thinking about it, like, people were like, people that don't understand Black Lives Matter, the, you know, the uninitiated, which, okay, I admit, at the first, when it first started coming out, I was kind of like, well, and that's like, hey, there's got to be a different way to word that so it doesn't come off like that. But I understood, like, I understood why it needed to be worded like mm-hmm. that. Because, I mean, people are saying, like, well, what it really means is Black Lives Matter too, or something like that. But that's not a good hashtag, no. And it's not succinct. It, you know, so, you know, you have to live with it. I mean, and if it really offends people, I mean, I don't know, get over it. But, like, it's not that, there's certain things work for certain reasons. And, I mean, and that's one of them. I mean, like, even, like, with like, when we're talking about hashtags and stuff like that, I mean, your message needs to be, you know, needs to fit in the, you quickly hashtag, quickly typed out, or otherwise it looks crazy. Just like, I mean, like, no dapple, you know. It's quick and easy. It's not like they typed out no Dakota Access Pipeline, you know.
Yeah.
You have to find a way to make it simple. I mean, in a lot of companies, that's one of the first things they think of when they have a new product or something like that. It's like, okay, how can I make this a hashtag? Because they want it to go viral, or, you know, whatever. Or at least want people to talk about it and not have to think too hard about what the hashtag is going to be. So, which is, you know, it's, I think it's like the same approach with, like, the civil rights posters, like the I Am a Man one. I mean, that would make a good hashtag, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
It's just quick and easy, quick to the point. You can read it when you're walking by or driving by really quick or something like that. I mean, and, I think that's what's important in a movement. And, I mean, even once you get past the design phase, you want to, the success of a movement is one of the most important things is that it can be explained quickly.
Yeah.
You know, it's like an elevator pitch. You know, you need to be able to say it quickly and get to the point, not have to, like, well, this move, and then this part over here. I mean, I would give an example of a movement that didn't work because of bad branding, but
I can't remember
it because of bad branding. So I don't know. I'm sure that's one. If I sat down and really thought about it, I could come up with something. But yeah, it just doesn't work because I don't remember.
Yeah. You want it to stick with people.
Yeah. And you could use that same logic when you're having a car wash or a yard sale. Don't put it on a lime green board and use a basic Bic pen to write it on there. Even if you scribble, but you can't read that. You need a marker. You know, make it clean so people can read it. Otherwise, it just looks like you're holding up a big bright yellow piece of paper for no reason. So,
yep.
That's neither here nor there.
Well, I think all in all, I think posters were probably, like, given today, like, the way people interact and stuff like that, posters are obviously not as effective as they would have been back in the day. Because now, your best bet, if you're designing stuff like this, you probably don't need to print it out at all. Because it's going to end up, like, some of the most powerful stuff I've seen has ended up as, it's something that people are reposting on Facebook, like, putting on Tumblr, putting on their Instagram, that type of stuff. Like, one thing, when you were talking, I thought about, like, that, it's that image of, it's a woman, and she's wearing, like, the Muslim thing, but it's got the flag in the background.
Oh, yeah, that's recent. Yeah,
I thought that one was pretty powerful and very good, because it was really simple. But it's like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
She's got the hijab or whatever it's called on. Sorry to anybody that knows the right term. I don't know.
I think that's right.
But anyway, I thought that was really a really powerful thing.
We didn't.
And of course, it could be printed. But I guess nowadays, you've got to account for all the different forms of media that your thing could end up on.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it may not be. It may be. Nowadays, I think it's. I mean, it may be a poster, but I don't know where people put up posters anymore. But most likely, I mean, well, there's posters up, but they're usually like corporate stuff.
Movie posters.
You know? But like as far as like a poster, you can just put up yourself. You don't see that because they rip that stuff down ASAP. But T-shirts. I think that's the new poster. Yeah. Because back in the day, they couldn't easily print t-shirts like that, but now you can easily do that. And I mean, it's effective. I mean, you know, people wear it, and it's clothes, and it's a poster. So it's like the perfect item. So I mean, I think that, you know, it'll be printed in that sense, and you know, then it needs to work on the internet. Yeah. Well. So.
Yeah, I mean, come to think of it, I've actually bought several t-shirts just because of, you know, they had some political or social statement that I really believed in, I thought was cool. So, t-shirts and memes and stuff like that are kind of the new poster. So you got to make a message that fits in those types of medium well. And I think that's the biggest part of it, is that it's got to work in multiple formats.
Yeah. I think the main problem nowadays with, propaganda or whatever, new propaganda posters, is that it's so easy for misinformation to be put out there.
Well, it's so easy for everyone to put their own version of whatever t-shirt or poster out, or meme or whatever it is.
Yeah. Whatever their truth is, their personal truth. Yeah. A lot of people don't check the sources or whatever. I remember seeing something. It was like some picture of a guy, like, it's like a wedding picture, and he was standing there kissing the girl, and it was like all these guys standing behind him, like with their arms like linked around each other's arms or something. That sounds really weird to describe it. It was a weird looking picture, but apparently that's like some kind of fraternity, whatever. I'm not in a fraternity, so I don't know. But apparently that's a thing. But then people are under the picture saying, like, this guy couldn't walk, and so they all held him up or something like that, and everybody was going in like, no, it's not. But it's like so easy for something like that. You know, what's that saying? Like, the truth, I mean, a lie will travel around the world twice before the truth gets out of bed or something like that. But it's so easy to share something and be like, oh, okay, nah, that looks right. Oh, that makes sense. Oh, I agree with that, you know. Let me just share that real quick or whatever.
Yeah.
So, and it, you know, before anybody can be like, wait, what?
Did you see that one? You know. It was, I don't know, maybe a year ago, possibly longer, where it was like a white couple taking wedding pictures, and then like a whole bunch of like black people, inner city, urban youth in the background, just standing there. And it was like, I think on Facebook or somewhere I saw it, was people were like, apparently like, The story was that the husband or the wife, one of them, had texted somebody like, hey, our wedding's at this date and time, and they had accidentally sent it to the wrong number, and then all these black people showed up at the wedding. But that's obviously, that wasn't the story, the real story, but it was just like, it took off on Facebook as like a thing.
Oh, no, I think I saw that. Oh my goodness. See, people just like a good story, and they'll believe whatever.
The story's more interesting than the truth.
Yeah. I mean, and I think that happens a lot of times. But I mean, you know, I know we're talking about propaganda and stuff. I mean, but it is propaganda. But in this case, I guess it's not even like somebody with some kind of ill, like, intent or, like, I don't know. They don't even have a goal. They're just trying to, it's like, who came up with that story first?
It's just funny.
You know?
Somebody like, just wanted to be internet famous.
I guess that must be what it is, because it's like, where'd you come up with that? Why do you think that's what that is happened? Like, where'd you find this photo? Like, where did because you never know how these things, where they start.
But I think some of it is just like, here's a photo, let's put a story to it.
I mean, if you're gonna do that, I mean, I've heard people, you know, add a caption or something like that just to be funny, but it's like, I don't know, it's like, usually somebody comes in with a long paragraph about what happened, and it's like, that is not... Where did you just make that up? Like, how... I don't know. It's kind of weird to me. Like, how do you have
that? But I'll say, like, with the... Again, with the ease of... How easy it is to create content or, you know, promote whatever your agenda is, it makes it... I think it kind of makes it even more important to make sure whatever you're doing, if you're trying to do this, that you have a strong design and something that'll stand out and get people's attention, because they're like, it's flooded, and this is probably something we could talk about maybe in some other episode, but it's easy, especially now with, you know, with social media and social networks and all that type of stuff, it's easy to get in a place where you can easily, like you were talking about earlier, you can easily ignore anything that doesn't agree with what you want to talk, what you want to see. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can mute all the people that are talking about Dakota Access Pipeline if I don't care about that. I can easily mute them on Facebook, on Twitter, or whatever. So I don't have to see that. Yeah. So it can become tough to break through, like, those echo chambers that people put themselves in and actually be seen bluntly.
Yeah. I mean, that's true, and I still block people for stuff like that.
I mean, but if you think about it, like, back there were only, like, so many sources that would be even putting out this type of stuff. I mean, because there were, you know, there's large groups of disenfranchised people who just may not even have the ability to put out this type of stuff. You also had large groups of people who just didn't, couldn't even digest this type of stuff because they couldn't read or couldn't get the education to understand or read. So it was far more simple to get your message out to a lot of people. And that's probably why you don't see that much, a whole lot of civil rights posters from, like, that civil rights era in the 50s and 60s, I guess, because a large portion of the population may not even have the ability to read. So it was a lot of word of mouth and that type of stuff. And now,
or didn't have the resources to reproduce it, or
So that's like why that. The whole churches and, like, Martin Luther King as a pastor made a whole lot of sense versus, like, anything else.
Yeah.
But now with,
and I think also they were trying to avoid some, in some cases they may have been trying to avoid attention in some ways until they were ready to do something.
Yeah, that makes sense. So, but I'll say, like, now with everybody has access to do whatever they want within, you know, within some reason, it makes it harder to, not only harder to figure out what the truth is, but also harder as someone who's trying to share your version of the truth or your passion. It's kind of harder to get it out there and get people to listen that may not necessarily agree with you, because that's the whole point of some of these. At least not all of them are trying to aimed at people that don't agree, but a lot of this, like, I looked at a lot of climate change and environmental posters and encouraging people, like, to use solar panels or to, you know, stop killing polar bears or whatever. A lot of those, at least nowadays, it's going to be tough to even get people to even consider looking at them if they don't agree. Cause,
yeah, I mean, and that's when you come in. I mean, that's where you have people like, I guess, PETA or something like that, where they, you know, I haven't seen anything from them in a long time, but I know it used to be the thing to do. It's like, oh, okay, let me go pose nude with PETA or something like that. And then, you know, it pulls people in or something like that. I don't know. I don't know anybody that really likes PETA, though. But, I don't know. I mean, people try to find a hook, and sometimes that hook is like, I don't know, it's weak or not connected. It's like clickbait.
Because, like, that whole posing nude thing, like.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not for, like, hurting animals, but I'm probably not going to. Depends on who it is. I'm not willing to do it, but I'm saying, depending on who it is, like, the reason why they were doing it, like, if it's not some woman that people think is attractive or a guy that men think or women think is attractive, then, like, what's the point?
Then they'll.
Like, it was just, like, that was old school clickbait.
Yeah, no, yeah. I mean, they still do that now, I mean, in commercials and everything else, but honestly, it's like, once you get people in, like, are they going to stay? It's like, oh, okay, well, I came for the nudes and got that. Bye. Like, why, you know, I don't feel like it's effective, because you're not really hitting them with the hard information. It's like, they got what they wanted and they walked away. That's it.
But I mean, I guess on some level, it's just that whole, like, brand recognition thing, where you just show them. If you get enough people looking, you can hopefully make some sort of difference.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think that's the logic behind it, but I mean,
does it work? I don't know. I don't. I still don't be ethically don't treating animals at all.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I can't say. I mean, I don't know how they quantify it.
Well, besides like the Dakota Access Pipeline and some of the others, are there any other like things
I care
where
about.
You got pulled in by something you saw design wise?
Well, I mean, that wasn't the only reason why I got pulled in.
I'm saying, like, been anything where it was literally just like mainly the design? Because obviously, the design is kind of, for me, in the ones that have impacted me, I think the design was the first step. And then I read about it and I was like, oh, yeah, this is a good cause. I should care about this.
Well, I don't think I bought anything with it on him or whatever, but I remember seeing the Che Guevara stuff. I mean, that was like really popular at one point, and I remember seeing it and thinking it looked cool and everything. I didn't ever bought anything or whatever. I'm trying to think if there was something else. I can't think of anything at the moment that I really felt like passionate about it, and then I bought a shirt for it. I can't think of anything. I mean, I have a bunch of car shirts, but
well, I'll say, like, know. The whole when I first started hearing about Obama, I have an Obama shirt. It's not like one from like the direct from Obama thing. It's somebody else made a shirt with Obama stuff on it, but I like the design. But when I first heard about like the fact that Obama was running and all that type of stuff, I wasn't like super gassed, because you know it's hard to have positive expectations for any politician. Not that I've been like, oh, I've been here for years and seen so many politicians, but like, just you just don't assume anything good. But
believe it,
I really liked like the whole hope thing he had going on, and the design, the logo. It was way better than McCain stuff.
Everybody, like we talked about in episode
two or three. But yeah, I think was a situation where the design was good, and the image, like the message it was sending, the message of hope, I thought that was a very positive message, and it wasn't just like something generic that I forget what McCain's slogan was, but his logo was whack. And so I think that's, again, where it comes back to the design pulled me. The design got my attention, but I was also interested because it's like, hey, there's a black man. Like, hey, mama, look at that black man. So that was enough to get my attention and for me to at least pay attention. Not that I would have. Because, again, like we could talk about like Ben Carson. His designs weren't terrible, but we don't have to. Designs weren't terrible. Just he wasn't that great of a person. So I think there's a combination you have to put together.
Or Herman Cain.
Yeah, there's been several that have come through and like they didn't have the right mixture. But I think if you have the good mixture, it can work.
You trying to say that because Obama's half white?
Yeah, because he's a communist. That's why.
Because he's a Muslim
communist. That's what you said. But I'm trying to think of if there's anything else that I really kind of bought into any sort of movement.
There's plenty of things I've gotten, but none of them were like I would say it was like a social justice movement that I bought into. It was like more so like, oh yeah, I agree that lowered cars look cool. I like Star Wars. Stuff like that. Nothing that like was like really like
impacted me.
I mean, I'm not a person that walks around trying to make political statements all the time. So,
well, that's the other thing.
I like to be more subtle in some of the stuff. I mean, well, I bought my own shirt that you can get at alienmuffin.threadless.com.
Well, that's something like with the shirts that we've designed, because the shirt we designed, one of the first shirts we worked together on. It's not even on our site. It's the one with the roots. Is that?
Oh, yeah.
So we designed a shirt a long time ago. If you look on our Instagram, I think there's a picture of it. It's a fist with some roots on it or something. But anyway, like when I started getting into like.
You may need a revive.
Yeah.
That
scene. So we'll have it on our shop soon. Yeah. But That's when I was like, I should start. I'll say it feels good to wear a shirt that actually has some meaning behind it and has something behind it. Where people might ask, hey, what does that mean? What is that? And then you can have an opportunity to kind of tell them, like, hey, you know, Black Lives Matter, or whatever, you know, whatever your thing is that you're trying to tell people about.
AlienMuffin.threadless.com.
So I think that's great, but that was only something I could do like part of the time, because I can't wear a shirt like that to work, because I have a blue collar job, or not a blue collar, a white collar job, I guess you could say, where I can't wear a t-shirt to work. I have to have a shirt with a collar. So
you could wear it under your t-shirt.
Yeah, like, so I have one time
get Superman that
you'd be ripping open your shirt all day at work. But yeah, I think that's something. I don't even know what the point of this was, but yeah, like, some of the stuff I would probably do, like in terms of wearing like shirts with social causes on them and stuff like that, a lot of times I haven't really gotten into them, or didn't buy the shirt or whatever, because I'm like, when am I gonna wear this? Like, the weekend is 2 maybe 3 days at the most, and I have a lot of shirts. I don't need another shirt that I'm not gonna wear that often.
Yeah, I have a lot of t-shirts. I mean because that's my same issue. I need to get rid of some, but yeah, I can't buy a t-shirt for every movement or something like that. I'm not one that walks around trying to have political or social conversations with people, or conversations with people in general. So my shirts are either more subtle, or they're just, you know, kind of like, oh, okay, I agree, Star Wars is cool, all right. But I mean, I don't mind some. I mean, sometimes I wear other stuff, but I mean, I don't know. I'm not like trying to walk around having conversations with strangers about my shirt. Not really. No. But
no, because you'll see people like, I think that's become a trend now. Like, American Eagle makes a lot of shirts like that, where they're kind of like the conversation starter shirts, where it'll I saw some guy,
like that Starbucks thing.
I don't know what that is, but I saw a shirt some guy had on, and it said like famous rapper. It's like a Christmas themed t-shirt, but it's a famous rapper, like stuff like that, where it's a joke and it's like to get someone's attention, to laugh, and then maybe they'll talk to you, that type of thing. And I get it, but with the, in a climate where there's a lot of those shirts, then when you have a shirt that actually means something, you can probably end up getting overlooked.
Yeah, that's true. Unless it's something like really popular and people know about. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of it. And then you run into the people that have like a whole paragraph on their shirt about whatever movement they care about, and I'm like, dude, I'm not reading your shirt. Nope. One, because I ain't got time for that, and two, because you're gonna think I'm staring at your boobs,
which I might be.
I might be. happy anniversary, by the way.
Oh, thank you. So,
unrelated. But, yeah. yeah. Well, we'd also like to say thanks to everybody that checked out our last episode. It's one of our more successful episodes. We don't know what we did right, but we hope to do it again.
Yep. Thanks for listening.
And hopefully you enjoy this next episode. But remember to follow us on the internet. We're Alien Muffin at everything, and alienmuffin.com. And if you're wondering what our shop is, it's alienmuffin.threadless.com.
You can just go to alienmuffin.com, and there's a link to the shop there where you can check out some of our t-shirts, and some of them are related to social justice, and some of them are just t-shirts with an interesting thing on them that you can wear, and people will start talking to you and saying, hey, what's that on their shirt? Where'd you get that from? Well, that's it for this week. Thanks for tuning in. Check out our previous episodes. And enjoy the rest of the month.